Articles by Fearlessly Courageous from the desk of Dennis Piller. You know the story, but can you tell me the message? What is the most important message of Christmas? The world is ever-changing. Our lives are also ever in motion. Trials and circumstances are always coming anew. Relationships, family, drama, sickness, finances, and unexpected expenses. Life doesn't let up, and we seem in this endless cycle of heading into apparent danger, in trouble, or limping our way out again, and we get tired and worn out, and discouragement sets in. Then Christmas just gets added to the pile. Really? The good news about Christmas is that even when the world or our circumstances change, the message of Christmas is timeless, because Christmas is about the birth of God's Son, Jesus. It's about how he came to give us love and hope and joy. That message doesn't change from year to year. But sometimes the familiarity of its truth fades a bit, and we hit these dry patches that don't offer much nourishment, water, and or hope. So what does Jesus say about hope? For those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on the wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Isaiah 40:31. Or being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Philippians 1:6. So where are you putting your hope when your cup is half empty? Who are you confident in? Who are you trusting? Are you carrying the load alone, or are you really placing your hope in Christ? One might say, well, I am confident in the failure that is staring me in the face. To be honest, I had a day with technology problems that ate my lunch and my patience, and the better part of my day that I couldn't afford to lose. I was so under it, I couldn't stop for lunch. I was in one fire after another, and here I sit writing this piece to encourage you this morning while I'm still picking up the pieces of my day. It actually turned out pretty good, except for the carnage of my body and the annihilation of what peace I carried into my day. Yeah, I should have taken a break, made a break, left for 5 minutes, gotten some fresh air, laid all my frustration at the cross before coming back in for round two, but I didn't. I just kept bucking under to the unending pressure of the day, trying to put out fires and create solutions. Me, me, and me. Were my problems too big for God? Was my faith too small for my day? You might have thought that had you been inside looking out. Paul reminds us in Philippians 4:6 to be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Pretty powerful exchange is seen in this verse, but I really failed in that today. My bucket, our buckets are empty because we are the ones filling it, not God, not the Holy Spirit. We are determined that we will get through another dilemma, another patch of fog. I just keep on keeping on and I get it done. But I paid a price today for doing it alone. I lost my peace and I lost my joy because I took my eyes off the prize. So many will turn it over in worship on Sunday, but we'll pick it back up again by lunch on Monday, start all over again. I hope God shows up, but I must do what I do in case he doesn't. So who exactly is in charge of the scenarios we are describing? Hope in what? Hope in who? Why is hope important to God? What does Paul say about hope? Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Hope is the eyes of faith in that it not only sees the promise, but it also is the hands of faith that clings to the expectation of the promise and never releases it no matter what is seen. Wow, you should read that again. This is more than just believing things are going to work out okay, that the higher power will take care of me, or let's just stay positive. Because hope that is built on anything other than God will always disappoint. So how do you build hope? Prayer is a powerful way to build our hope in God. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, Paul counsels us to pray without ceasing. James illuminates this truth when he says, if anyone among us is in trouble, they should pray. James 5. Or in Romans 15, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. Or Lamentations 3:21, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. And finally, 1 Corinthians 4:17, this light, momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory. Jeff Bridges said, change your focus. We must see our circumstances through God's love instead of, as we are prone to do, seeing God's love through our circumstances. Look at Philippians 1:6 again, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. We must soak in his word and speak life into our situations. Max Lucado says it so beautifully. Our prayers may be awkward. Our attempts may be feeble. But since the power of prayer is the one who hears it and not the one who says it, our prayers do make a difference. Wow. Jesus went away after his hard days quite often, like I'm doing now. He prayed and put things into an eternal perspective, poured himself out to his Father, and laid down whatever he was carrying. Lord, help us today to trust in you, the hope of glory. You are the only way out of here, Lord, and I will rest my hope in you. I pray that you make it a Jesus-filled day.